Blog Talk Radio.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says, amen, amen, and amen. Now, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome back to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership with Jesus Christ as the Lord. As we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is great, and his name is greatly to be praised. I am your host and your kingdom coach on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda Bradford out of Philadelphia. Rose this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, with my mind stayed on the Lord. Our Lord God, he is good. Our Lord God, he is great. And the Lord God, he is so greatly to be praised. We want to welcome all of our first-time visitors. Amen. Maybe you just happened to run up across us. Well, guess what? You might think you did, but you didn't, because there are no accidents in the Lord's kingdom. Amen. So you have indeed come to the right place at the right time. Amen. We invite you in. Have a seat at the breakfast table. We are about to, when the Holy Spirit is about to serve a breakfast for champions. Amen. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there's no time and distance in the spirit. So have a seat at the breakfast table. Amen. Glory be to God. And we invite you to enjoy the services and keep on coming back. We are here 7 days a week, 7 days a week, going on 12 years. Amen. So, thank you for stopping by. Amen. We pray that everyone is excited this morning. Why? Because there's another day that the Lord has given us. He didn't have to do it. Amen. A lot of people was here with us on yesterday, but guess what? They're not here today. And some of us won't be here tomorrow. Amen. But we're here today. Amen. So let's just say, amen, rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We are going to rejoice. Amen. And be glad in it. Yea, rather, we're rejoicing already. Amen. And amen. All right, all right, all right, all right. We want to take a look this morning. Amen. Yesterday, amen, I'm telling you, I'm still happy on that message the Lord brought yesterday. Woo, wasn't that a word? My God, that was a word, that was a word, amen, hallelujah, on friendship. Who is your friend? My God, that was a word. And we want to thank our, amen, Minister Thurmish, amen, because God used her, amen, amen, to launch that, amen, with her two poems, and he just, I mean, just piggyback on that, and my God, that was a word, amen, but a word, all God's word is a word, because his word is the word, hallelujah, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. So we left off yesterday, amen, by talking about, amen, Jesus, amen, when Jesus said that you are my friend if you obey my commandments. Amen. Glory be to God. So what Jesus was saying is, I'm your friend, now will you be mine? Amen. Glory be to God. And we prove, amen, our friendship and our love for him and our obedience. This is why he said, if you obey my commandments, because you cannot live a life in disobedience. God, we thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. You cannot live a life of disobedience. amen, and consider yourself a friend of God. That's what the Lord is telling you straight up. Amen. Glory be to God. Beloved, we want to just look. There's certain men in the Bible that we're going to have to visit a couple times because there's too much to say about Paul in one elaboration. Too much to say about Jesus. Too much to say about Abraham. Amen. And we want to just do a little part one on Abraham today. Amen. And we're going to revisit because some of these men, I'm telling you, we can take the whole year. We can say, you know what, we're going to take 6 months and talk about Abraham, and we wouldn't run out of nothing to say. Amen. Glory be to God. So we see Abraham, beloved, was a friend of God. We read in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20, verse number 7. And it says here, it says, art not thou our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. Look at that. Here it says the Lord is calling Abraham his friend. We see it again in Isaiah 41 and 8, and it reads, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Wow. And then one more time in the New Testament, beloved, James chapter 2, verse number 23. Amen. And it reads, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, beloved, we see where God has called Abraham his friend. Glory be to God. But Abraham had some strengths. First of all, this is a scripture that I want to give you, and is Genesis 15 and 6. Genesis 15 and 6. And it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, that's in the Old Testament. But look, we read that same, those same words in the New Testament. And James chapter 2, verse 23, it says the same thing. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But James adds, amen, a couple more words. James said, and he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now, he was a friend of God and God's friend, even though he had some issues. I want you to know, beloved, that yes, we all have some issues. God has already accounted for your issues. We are accepted in the beloved. His grace has already made provisions for your failures. His grace has already made provisions for your slip-ups. See, this is why the Bible says if a man falleth down seven times, he get back up again. God has already made provisions for that. He's made provisions for your weaknesses. See, and so we see it in the life of Abraham. Okay, number one, Abraham, we know when the pressure came on Abraham, Abraham distorted the truth. He called his wife his sister. Why, wow, that pressure, that old pressure is something, baby. Pressure going to bring out whatever's in you. You best believe it. Pressure going to bring it out. See, and we also see here, amen, that he wasn't by himself. But with his wife, Sarah, they tried to fulfill God's promise of a son in their own way and timing, see, with Ishmael, see, because God promised him a son, so they wanted to help God out. God don't need your help, by the way. And this led to much conflict and much bitterness. All right? So we see that Abraham had some issues, but guess what? He still was a friend of God. He distorted the truth. Well, don't that make him a liar? Yeah, it do. There's no gray areas. But guess what? He was still a friend of God. Did he try to help God out? Did he just took his wife's advice? Well, you know, if your wife gonna tell you to go lay with another woman and give you permission to do so, you know, Abraham, they probably didn't put up too much of a fight on that. I'm sure Sarah picked a good looking. I'm sure that Ishmael's mother, amen, was gonna, no, she didn't pick no ugly woman to have no baby with her husband. So I'm sure the woman was pretty. So, you know, Abraham wasn't putting up with that. He wasn't going to fight that. So Abraham, amen, even though he had his errors, he was still a friend of God. He brought so much to the table. See, because the faith that he did have, even beloved, it pleased God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God, but Abraham pleased God. We see that Father Abraham was an ancestor to God's people, Israel. He was a caring father to his own family, and he practiced hospitality to others. He was a very generous man. Not only that, beloved, he was successful, and he was wealthy. Rancher. And these people that teaching and preaching that God's people need to be poor and should be poor and poverty, and they don't know the word. That's all I would say. They don't know the word. Abraham was rich. And another thing about Brother Abraham, he usually avoided conflicts. But when the conflicts were unavoidable, he allowed his opponent to set the rules for settling the dispute, as he did with Lot. He took low for peace sake. See, I'm right, but for peace sake, he would tell his opponent, how you want to handle this? See, and the man was just full of wisdom. He was full of love. And so we want to thank God, amen, for our brother Abraham, glory be to God. Faith, amen. Beloved, the man was a man of faith. And we thank God for faith, because without faith it's impossible to be saved. Beloved, faith brings us to salvation. Every one of us who is saved today, a born-again believer, it was our faith in God's word that brought us to salvation. See? But it's our active obedience that demonstrates that our faith is genuine. See, obedience, amen, doesn't save you. It's your faith. It's your obedience, amen, demonstrated through faith. Right, because it produces good works. And so because we are doing good, see, because we are obeying God, he said, if Jesus said, amen, you are my friend if you obey my commandments. See, so when we obey the Lord's commandments, when we strive to live the way the Lord is telling us to live, a lifestyle pleasing to him, see, our lifestyle now demonstrates, see, that our faith in God is genuine. It takes faith to be saved, but we have genuine faith. How do you know that your faith, how do you know this person say they got faith, that person say they got faith? Well, which one has the faith? Glory be to God. How do we know who has the genuine faith? Will the person with the real faith please stand up? Well, the person with the genuine faith is the person who lives a lifestyle of obedience. You don't have genuine faith if you're not living a lifestyle of obedience. And that's how you know who the real person is. See, you will know them by their fruit. See, and your fruit is producing that obedience. Glory be to God. Demonstrate it. And that's how you know. Yeah, they real. Yeah, they real. They a real Christian. Yeah, well, they got faith over there, too. How you going to say they're not a real Christian? Amen. Because there's no obedience. This person here is a real Christian because I see him. I watch him. And they obey the word. That's how you know they're a real Christian. That's how God knows you're a real Christian, too, beloved. Amen. God judges the heart. Man judges the outward appearance. God does not judge the outward appearance. No, God judges the heart. See, and God knows. Amen. See, when the Bible tells us not to judge, we're going to do a teaching on that. Because we take that to mean what it don't mean. We as born again believers do judge. Okay. And we have to judge righteously. And judging even begins in the house of God. All right? So we have to judge sin. When the Bible is telling us not to judge, it's telling us not to judge, amen, the intents. See, the intentions of that person, because you did not know the intent of that person's heart. That's what the Lord is telling us not to judge. You don't know why they did. You don't know their intentions, what they were trying to do. That's why we can't touch that. See? But we can judge the sin that was manifested. But only, see, God knows the intents of the heart. And that's why you have some people look like, hey, how that's happening for them. And this person over here, because God sees the heart. But let me tell you, have you ever did something that turned out wrong? I know I can raise both my hands on this one. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, but you meant right. Like you really earnestly meant right. You meant to do the right thing. You didn't mean to hurt nobody. You didn't mean to offend nobody. You really was trying to bring glory to God. You really had good intentions, but something went wrong in the middle. Now, people, when God said don't judge, see, people will judge you and beat you up, see, because of the way it turned out. But that's why God tells us not to judge, because you really meant right, and God knew you meant right. But see, we don't know. That's the part we don't know about the individual, because number one, we ain't even talking to him. We just judging the outcome. God knew it was in your heart to do the right thing, even though it did not turn out right. And guess what? That person, amen, will get a reward. Because your intentions was right. And God knows your heart. And that's why we look at certain people and say, I don't know how they can be blessed, because God knows their heart. God knows their intentions. Not to say they're perfect, but they're striving towards it. Not to say they missed it. They didn't miss it, but they didn't mean to miss it. That's the difference. Glory be to God. So we see here, amen, that Abraham was a friend of God because of his obedience. But Abraham had to make some choices, beloved, and this is what we want to, amen, just talk to you just for a couple more minutes about. He had to make some choices. I remember, y'all know I've been, you know, around for a while. See, I've been in church. I gave my life to Christ when I was 25. And this year here in September 28th, it's going to be another birthday for me, Lord's willing. All right. So, that's over 40 years. Wow. Yeah, that's over 40 years. So there's certain messages, amen, that sort of, they're all the messages that I have heard and all the teachers, they're all in my spirit. See, they're all, and that's why, you know what I mean, I can, you know, as long as the Lord anoint me, I can just, you know, I walk in the room and they say, Pastor, I'm glad you're here. We need you to bring a word. I won't get upset. I won't get upset because, number one, I'm not dependent on me. I'm not the one talking. See, I'm going to go in the bathroom and say a prayer, and I'm going to come out, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring a word. Why? Because there's something in me. See, if you go to the bank and make a withdrawal and they try to make a withdrawal, if you haven't put no money in, they gonna lock you up. If you want to get radical up in that joint, you're going to jail. All right? But you can make a withdrawal if there's the deposit. That's why we need to be spending time in God's word every day. Whenever we need to make a withdrawal, somebody we need to talk to, pray with, testify, witness to. You don't have to search for words. The Holy Spirit is going to bring up out of your reservoir, out of the deposit that has already been made. So people ask me, well, I don't know how you can come every day for 12 years and minister. That's because there's something in me. I'm making a withdrawal on that. And I continue to make deposits, because if you keep withdrawing without making a deposit, sooner or later, baby, you're going to get to zero. So one I shared with you, amen, evangelist, amen, the evangelist that went on to be with the Lord, and the message she preached, I heard me share it a couple times. If you is or your ain't, your tis or your taint, I never forgot that one. I never forgot that message. And my mother, Bishop Westfield, amen, she preached several messages, amen, because she was my only pastor for years from the beginning. She was the beginning. Until the Lord sent me over to Bishop Lambert. Yeah, I wasn't doing no church hopping. I don't believe in that church hopping stuff. Because if you take a tender plant and you move that plant from flower pot to flower pot, guess what? It ain't long, baby. That flower gonna die. That plant gonna die. All right? So one of the messages that Bishop Westfield preached that I never forgot, if the choice is yours, but the consequences belong to God. Ooh, awesome. Awesome word. Beloved, I want you to know today that all actions have consequences. We talked about it this morning on our 5 a.m. service. You reap what you sow. You sow negativity. Negativity coming back to you. You sow positive, you reap what you sow. It's a law. It's a law that God cannot break, because otherwise it will make him a liar. And not only, beloved, does it come back, you always get more than what you give out. Be it good or bad. Be it good or bad. And that's why we have these relationships. I don't know why a man, woman, or man would want to, amen, date somebody and marry somebody who was cheating on their spouse. They eventually got the person to leave their spouse, and now you want to marry him. I never understood that. Because guess what? Now they're going to be cheating on you. Okay, so now, all actions have consequences. Beloved, what we do can set into motion a series of events that may continue long after we've gone. It's called collateral damage. Sometimes we make choices, beloved, amen, and our children, our grandchildren are still reaping the consequences of those choices that we made years ago when we were teenagers, young adults. And that can be used in the negative and in the positive. Lost, you dead and gone. And they still going through the consequences here of a choice that you made. That's why it's time for us in the body of Christ, amen, to get out of this mentality, break this generational curse, and let the Lord establish generational blessings in our lives. So long after we're gone, that is our legacy. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You want to know what that inheritance is? It's a good name. Integrity. And spiritual blessings. Unfortunately, beloved, when we are making a decision, most of us think only of the immediate consequences. We don't think about the long-term consequences. And these are often misleading because they are short-lived. Abraham had a choice to make. I'm calling this teaching today, what's your choice? Hallelujah. That's what I'm calling, amen, this teaching today. Abraham had two options. His two options were setting out with his family and belonging to parts unknown. Am I going to go where the Lord is sending me? I don't know where I'm going. I ain't never been here before. It's strange. I know the Lord is leading me. Am I going to do what the Lord is telling me to do? Or was he going to stay right where he was? That was his two choices. Am I going to stay in the same spiritual situation I'm in right now because I'm comfortable? Or am I going to take a leap of faith? Am I going to stretch my faith? Am I going to allow God to expand my capacity to receive and go where the Lord is calling me to go? Do what the Lord is telling me to do. Reach a little bit higher. Yes, it's taking me out of my comfort zone. But I got a choice. God just left it up to Abraham. He told Abraham, and you just sat back to see what Abraham's going to do. Guess what? God doing the same thing with me and you. Some of us right now, God has been trying to stretch us in certain areas of our lives for years. God ain't changed his mind. We hoping he will. I think God want me to do this, but I'm just going to wait. God ain't changed his mind. And every time you come back to God, you know what God's going to do? God cannot bless you past your last point of obedience. The thing God's going to do is say, all right, what's the last thing I told you to do? Yeah, well, that was 2 years ago. What was the last thing I told you? You got to go back and do the last thing. Glory be to God. But it's your choice. Remember, the choice is yours, but the consequences belong to God. Abraham had to decide between the security of what he already had or the uncertainty of traveling under God's direction. He wasn't going to be on his own, but Abraham was rich. He said, look, shoot, babe, we all right, ain't we sad? Yeah, we all right, shoot. Bills paid, shoot, cable TV, the air conditioner working, hey, you warm up that Mercedes? Yeah, come on, let's go for a ride. Open up the sun rooftop, yeah, huh? Abraham wasn't struggling, baby. He was doing okay. See? Staying in that comfort zone, that spirit of fear, amen, that allows us to stay in our comfort zone, amen, because we fear, we have the fear of success. It's not the spirit of a failure that bothers us. The truth of the matter is if we get to the nitty and gritty and really get ready to root out the source of this situation, it's the fear of success that paralyzes us, amen, from moving forward. We just don't know because we've been bamboozled so long. But Abraham had a choice. All he had to go on was God's promise to God and bless him. That's all he had. He had nothing else. God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Can you tell me a little bit more? Can you tell me? Y'all know how we want God to give us all the details. That ain't faith. Well, God, just give me another sign. Okay, give me a sign. Okay, God, and then we got a whole list of questions. Like we a reporter trying to interview the president. Nah. Like, I just got another question, and I just got another question. No, you've been here long enough. You need to get up and start to moving is what you need to start to doing. You need to start taking some baby steps in the direction that God is calling you. God don't talk that much. God is not a talker. God's a doer. Glory be to God. God gave him a promise. He said, I'm with you and I'm going to bless you. And beloved, I'm going to tell you the truth. When we really meditate on that, you can meditate on that today. That was really enough. That was loaded. That was loaded. When, if God tells you I'm with you and I'm going to bless you, it ain't even nothing else to be said. Anything else would be chitter chatter. You can't add nothing to that. And you can't take nothing away. Glory be to God. Abraham could hardly had to go. Abraham could hardly have been expected to visualize how much of the future was resting on his decision of whether to go or to stay. He had no idea that even Jesus was going to come through his loins. He had no idea that the whole nation was going to be blessed of him. Me and you, we are the seed of Abraham, beloved, if you are a born-again believer. Abraham had no idea that God was going to take it that far. This is why Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that was. We have no idea how much God's going to bless our socks off if we dare to take a step in faith. If we choose his way. He said, I choose blessings and cursings. You choose. Ain't God awesome? Remember we used to play, amen, when I was growing up, and we used to put the little rock in your hands and we put and close your fist. I forgot what we call it, and then we put the left hand and the right fist out, and then the person you was playing with had to guess which hand the money was in, or the stone, or whatever. See, I forgot what we call it. Well, God does the same thing to us. He put out the left, he said, all right, you choose. And then God is so good, then he'll say, here, he'll give you his right hand and say, go this way, choose this one. Oh, God give you the question and the answer. Yeah, now come on now. How many teachers you know will give you the questions and the answer? Hallelujah. And then God give us the answers and some people still reject it. They still reject the truth. If we only knew what God was trying to establish. Harriet Tubman didn't have an idea. Martin Luther King didn't have an idea. Abraham Lincoln didn't have an idea. T.D. Jakes didn't have an idea. And the names go on and on and on. And they didn't have an idea. Couldn't even have come close to knowing all that God was going to do because they chose, made Jesus their choice, and said yes to his will instead of their conveniences. Glory be to God. His decision, Abraham's decision to follow God set into motion the development of the nation that God will eventually call his own when he visited the earth himself. When Jesus Christ came to earth, beloved, God's promise was fulfilled through Abraham. And the entire world was blessed through Abraham because Abraham made the right choice. I come to tell you, beloved, not only are you blessed when you make the right the choice, your children blessed. Your grandchildren blessed. Your household is blessed. Your community is blessed. Your business is blessed. Your place of employment is blessed. Everything you touch is blessed. Because you've made the right decision. You went the way of the spirit and not the way of the flesh. Why? Because he who sowed to the flesh is going to reap to the flesh. And he who sowed to the spirit is going to reap to the spirit. Ah! seed time and harvest. You're going to reap what you sow. We think God going to wink at it because we one of God's favorite. No, no, don't pull God into that category. God has to honor his word, baby. He has to honor his word. It's the law of the universe. It's already set in motion. God can't change that. I'm going to jump out this window, and I just want God to suspend the law of gravity. You know I'm supposed to go down when I jump out the window, but I'm just going to ask God to just hold me up in midair. God have mercy. And we think that person is foolish. Guess what? Beloved, don't beat them up too bad, because we just as foolish as they are, glory be to God, when we think that God is going to violate the law of the universe, amen, to move in your favor. God's trying to get us to move in his favor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's trying to get us to move with him, beloved. God is not waiting. We're not waiting on God. Stop saying we're waiting on God. Amen. God is waiting on you. Beloved, you probably don't know the long-term effects of most decisions that you make, but shouldn't the fact that there will be long-term results cause you to think carefully and seek God's guidance as you make choices and take action? Stop being so quick. I'm not 100% there, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be, beloved. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say a prayer first. I'm going to do a Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct thy path. I might be praying while you talking to me. You might be on the phone saying something, and you don't even know why you talking. I'm praying. Okay, God, okay, Lord Jesus. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm not disrespecting you in my spirit. I'm talking. Okay, God, what you want me to say here? What you want me to do? So, no, sometimes we are in situations where we really don't know what to do. We really don't know which way is right, which is wrong, which black and white. Because, you know, some things, amen, we have the revealed will of God, and some situations we don't. Like, you know, we know it's God's will for us to be married, but we don't know who. All right? Good. So some things we really don't know. See, but what? God knows, and he's already made provisions for it. He's already made provisions for it, beloved. So if we want to make the right choice, I don't know which one to go with. Glory be to God. Why don't you just ask God? And you don't have to ask God for something if you know it's his will. He had already shared with Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm sending you. I want you to go. Now, if God already said, I'm sending you, I want you to go, what you praying about? Well, God, I'm just praying to see if you want me to go. God just told you he wants you to go. God told you he wants you to do this thing. God told you he wants you to help this person. God already told you. So when you're talking jibber-jabber, you're praying. You're praying right now. That's what you're doing. You ain't serious. You ain't serious. You don't have to ask God about something that God already instructed you on. You're just slowing down, amen, your reward. I'm talking about talking to God in those areas where you're not clear and God really hasn't really, you really don't know. You've had no conversation with the Lord. Let's have a conversation. Talk to your Father. Acknowledge him. Reverence him. And he is, he will be willing. Look, this is my life verse. I'm closing on this. Y'all know my life verse. Y'all better know. Anybody that's been in this ministry for a bit and don't know my life verse, we got to talk. I want to know why. Psalms 32:8 is my life verse. All right? What does it say? Hallelujah. It says here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Bam! Why? Because you took time to acknowledge me. You just didn't jump and start going. Amen. You talked to me about it. You waited for me. You got my permission. And you let me lead you. And you let me lead you. Why? Because I'm your shepherd. You made the right choice. Think of beloved, then you got to be real careful. Because if you let your soul minister to you and you move out of your soul, that's why the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. If you move out of that worldly wisdom, see, you be thinking you right. Nobody better not tell you you did the wrong thing. See, because I'm just going by what I feel. No, you can't go by what you feel, baby. You got to go, amen, by what God knows. You be thinking you right. Then you find out later on you was wrong. You made the wrong choice. Because you didn't acknowledge God. You didn't obey God. Hallelujah. Well, we want to thank God, amen, that Brother Abraham made the right choice in spite of his faults and failures, and he still was a friend of God. Beloved, I want to encourage you today, glory be to God, that maybe you have made a whole bunch of wrong choices. I want you to know that God has not thrown you away or evicted you. He is still your friend. He just wants you, amen, to confess your sins. Amen. Glory be to God. And starting today, hallelujah, let's start this thing all over again. And he said, amen, that you, and he is your friend. He wants you to be his friend. He said, and you are his friend if you obey his commandments. Let's tell the Lord yes. Beloved, don't sit around and try to wait till you get all your and you know what? And that's the type of person I am. That's why I can talk like this, because I tend to be a perfectionist. I still am a perfectionist, but God is helping me to balance this thing out. And I know, and I like to do my due diligence, you know, but sometimes I wait to get too much information before I make a move. And the truth of the matter is then it's really sort of borderline disbelief, fear, and other stuff. Let me tell you something. If God told you to make a move, you won't have to get no information, because he is the information. But no matter how many questions you get answered, there's still going to be some more. I'm not saying don't do your due diligence. I'm just saying move when the Lord say move is what I'm saying. And stop making excuses. And move in the direction that God is telling you to move. I'm finished. Have you ever gone into someone's house, or maybe in your house? Remember the old mantelpieces, and, you know, some of us have bookshelves, and some of us have, you know, the pretty vanity cabinets and stuff, and we have our china, and we have pictures, and, you know, of our family members and our loved ones. And you would go into somebody's house, and on that mantelpiece was a picture of a family member, maybe. Let's say a great-grandmother. Great-grandfather. You want to know why that picture of that great-grandmother and great-grandfather is on their mantelpiece? Because their lives made a difference. A lot of times, a lot of communities, because they left them some money. But if you leave money or not, amen, money is not the top priority. Their lives made a difference. And that picture going to remain on that person's mantelpiece till they die. Beloved, you want your life to make a difference, not only in this generation, but generations to come. How is that done? By you making the right choices today. The choices you make today will determine your tomorrow. Your future is hinged on the choices you make today. That's what we can learn from Brother Abraham. Amen. Woo. Amen. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Brother Abraham making the right choice. We are save the day, because we so happy Abraham didn't say put. We so happy Abraham ventured out. We don't know how the story would have ended up if Abraham didn't make the right choice. Because we are born again today through Abraham. Jesus came through Abraham. We don't know how this would have turned out if Abraham had said no. Thank you for Abraham's choices, Father, in spite of his failures. Thank you for us making the right choices in spite of our failures. God, you said if we confess our sin, you're just faithful and just to forgive us. You've already calculated. You knew we were going to sin before we sinned. That's why your grace is sufficient. It's already in the equation. Thank you, Father. Father God, where we have made the wrong choices, help us to get out. Show us how to untangle ourselves. Show us how to untangle ourselves, Father, and to walk in the choice that we know we should make. A lot of us already know what to do. We've just been making excuses. We know what to do. We know. We've just been scared, trying to follow the crowd, whatever. Whatever it is, we make no more excuses. We want to make the right choice starting this day. The thing you told us to do, Father God, that we still haven't done yet, people you told us to bless, and we making excuses, talking about look like they living bigger and better than me, all these phony excuses, we don't have nothing to do with that. If you told us to give $100 to a millionaire, we got to give $100 to a millionaire, because you said so. Father God, those people that need our prayers and we don't want to pray for them because we don't think they deserve our prayers or whatever the situation might be, God, we just repent for our ignorance and our spiritual arrogance. And we say thank you for your forgiving power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, if you've never been born again, all right, this is your opportunity right here. Come on, this is your choice. Now you got a choice. You keep living like a sinner. That's your choice. God ain't going to make you do otherwise. But here's the opportunity. Or you can decide to choose Jesus today. Right now, this moment, while you getting dressed for work, right now, this moment, while you sitting in your car, right now, this moment, on your way to work, maybe you already at work, on your way to school, wherever you on your way to right now, you can make a choice to say, today is my breakthrough moment, the day of my salvation. How, okay, I'm ready, Pastor Bradford, good. I'm glad to hear you say, here we go, repeat after me. Father God, forgive me for my sins. I was born in sin and shaven in iniquity, and I repent for grieving you, breaking your heart, sinning against you. Today I make my confessions, and I open my heart, and I receive Jesus Christ and invite him to come in, to live, and be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my God. Hallelujah. And from this day forward and henceforth now and forevermore, thank you for saving me. Thank you for erasing my name out of the book of death. Thank you that my name is confirmed in the Lamb's book of life. Thank you. Now I surrender all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Hey, come on, y'all. I hear you in the spirit. Come on, saints. Give the Lord 10 minutes worth of praise. Hallelujah for the saints, for their now saints, the men and the women, the boys and girls that just came into the kingdom. Woo! You might be 82 years old, but guess what? You came in as a baby. And you were born again. But guess what? That's why we are here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministry. So we're going to help you to mature. Amen. Hallelujah to the person. Amen. That God is calling you to be. Welcome to the family of God. Reach out to us. We want your name. Amen. And let us know. We want to pray with you, pray for you. And whatever we can do to help you in your Christian walk, we want to do that. But we got to hear from you. All right? Hallelujah. We're not going to get it through osmosis. We want to hear from you. Our email address is lifewordjesus@gmail.com. If you want to write a good old-fashioned letter, I love letters. We love letters. P.O. Box 461. Glenside, Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. Visit our website at lifewordjesus.org, and everything's there. Amen and amen. All right, that's the word of God for today, and to God be praise, glory, and honor. We will be at the altar prayer today at 12 o'clock and then back at 9 o'clock. Come on and meet us at the top of the hour. Amen. Prayer warriors will pray with you, pray for you. We have anointed prayer warriors and intercessors in this ministry. They ain't playing, my God, they ain't playing. I've never been around a group of men and women so strong in faith and in the anointing. Amen. The telephone number is 385-799-9729. 385-799-9729. Amen. 12 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Then tomorrow night, Friday night, is our Friday night praise party at 9 p.m. Every other Friday night, we come singing, bringing our songs, our testimonies, our readings, our prayers, and we just come fellowshipping, amen, breaking bread, amen, sitting at the table on the dance floor. We're just having a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. So we invite you to come in Jesus' name. All right, that's it for today. I can't think of nothing else right now. And to God be praised. Father God, bless the prayer warriors that will be coming at 12 o'clock and at 9 o'clock tonight, Father. We thank you for these women. We thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you, Father God, for their diligence. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing upon them to serve as intercessors. Father God, we want to bind every spirit of retaliation coming up against them. We ask that you would shield them, protect them, Father, with divine safety, long life, and longevity. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, as we go out today, Father God, we ask that you would help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. We cancel bad news, we cancel tears, we cancel sorrow. It will not take root, it will not prosper, it will not come to pass. Father God, our sister Felicia is in the hospital, our sister Gwendolyn's daughter. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we have already prayed, Father God, give us a good report. May a good report, Father God. Father God, she needs new body parts, Father. Speak right now. Send your word right now to heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that she will testify that God is her healer in Jesus' name. Every need, God, you promised to supply our need according to your riches and glory, but you said we can't faint in the middle. Help us not to faint in the middle, but to hold on to the end, because he who endureth to the end shall be saved. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the precious Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow. We cancel premature death. No plague shall come near our dwelling. We dip our children in the blood of Jesus Christ 7 times a day, our grandchildren, our homes, everything that belongs to us. Everything you have given us, we give back to you. Thank you for helping us to make the right choice. Some of us, Father God, been trying to make up our mind, can't even sleep, tossing and turning, because we need to make a decision. And we fight against the flesh and the spirit, because the flesh want to do it one way, the spirit want to do it another. Help us to let go and let you have your way. Because our arms are too short to box with you, Father. Help us just to relinquish, humble ourselves, and say yes to your will, and say yes to your way. Thank you. Thank you for the attached peace that goes with surrender. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation. We seal this prayer by the word, the blood, and the spirit, and we cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare it cannot, it will not, and it shall not be broken. And Satan is defeated, darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody have a beautiful day today. Amen. Walk in the blessing, because the blessing manifestation is here. Please make your decision today and make the right choice. Make the right choice. Amen. So you can leave a legacy for your family and for the generation to come. And for this generation and a generation to come. God bless you.